They were ordinary people, doing pretty ordinary types of jobs when he called them. He gave direction and meaning to their lives and talked of the kingdom of God as a reality that was coming to be in their lifetime. And it was a spiritual kingdom that touched the ordinary lives of ordinary people who saw God at work around them. The poor were told that there was good news for them. God cared for them and wanted to replace their poverty with great riches. The blind were given sight. The oppressed were set free. The hungry were fed. The sick were restored to good health. All were drawn closer to the heart of God. Then Jesus announced that he was leaving them. Just as they were getting used to this amazing person doing amazing things around them, he said his time was up and he had to leave them. They were devastated at the thought. They felt like orphans. But he said to them, "Don't be worried. Don't be upset. Don't be troubled or anxious, but trust. Have faith in me. Have faith in God." That's in John chapter 14, verse 1. Today, a lot of people worry, don't they? It's been a year of high anxiety for many of us. To people just like us, Jesus says, "Don't worry. But trust me, put your faith in me, follow me." Well, we know the effectiveness and strength of any trust or faith in someone will, of course, depend upon the dependability of the one in whom we have faith, the greatness, the reputation of the one in whom we have faith, the object of this faith, if you like. It will have to be something or someone who will not let us down, even in the most difficult of times. For people who are feeling pretty let down, Jesus has to explain how this was so. He said that even though he had to leave them for a short time, he'd be back, not in a Schwarzenegger kind of way. And he'd come back by a very specific route, through his death on the cross, through his resurrection from the dead, and by his going to be with his Father in heaven, his ascension. Jesus going to his Father's house would be an act of power, not of weakness or defeat. And it would secure their future destiny. He was going in order to prepare a place for them that would be beyond their wildest dreams. And his going there prevents them from being homeless orphans, the other side of the grave, of death. Instead, he will prepare a place that cannot be destroyed and will always be there for them. And they will have bodies that cannot be destroyed or maimed, which will always be there for them. You know, it must have been a difficult meal for Jesus in the upper room that night, that Passover. A meal which he institutes in order that we may remember and tell his story until he comes again. A meal that would give his disciples hope for centuries to come. And yet a meal that would symbolize his death. His body broken, his blood shed for us. We remember that night. We join in somber celebration. We proclaim the life-giving death of God's own Son until he comes again in glory. It's a time for sadness mingled with great hope and thanksgiving. It's a time for quiet reflection and faith. Yet it's not a place to regret. It's not a place to regret that Jesus left this earth in human terms. In chapter 16 of John, verse 7, Jesus says, "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." John 14, verse 8 says this, "I will not leave you as orphans." And so who is this counselor who will come? A little earlier in this passage, Jesus' farewell discourse, Jesus identifies him, chapter 14, verses 16 to 7. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth," the Holy Spirit. Verses 25 to 26, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." And then in chapter 16 of John, verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." So Jesus was saying to his disciples in those difficult days, as he anticipated his imminent death and removal from them in physical terms, he was saying that all is not lost, but a time of great hope, because what follows his death is even greater. He will rise. He will go to his Father, having conquered death. And the Father will send the Holy Spirit to love, to live in all who believe. Let us be open to the leading of that same Holy Spirit as we come to remember the time Jesus was about to leave his disciples. Let us remember the gift he was. And let us remember the gift he was to make to us all as he obediently went to Calvary. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus' obedience, being even obedient to the cross. He'd prayed, "Not my will, but yours. If it's possible, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but yours." And thank you that he gave of himself so generously, so that we may be saved, so that we may have a hope and a future, so that our eternal life, our eternity, would be spent with the living God. Help us, Lord, as we come this evening to reflect quietly, to sit in Gethsemane, to gather round the table and remember, to await following Good Friday and the cross, the resurrection of Easter Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Amen.